Turn your Bibles with me if you may, if you have one. If you don't have one, share with somebody, but get one for next week. If you can't afford one, turn to your neighbor, tell them, can you buy me a Bible? But I'm sure there's nobody in that category, because if you can afford to eat physical food, then you should be able to afford to eat spiritual food or buy spiritual food. Amen. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'll be reading from the book of John chapter 8 from verse 31. Amen. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 8 verse 31. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Another version says, this truth shall set you free. But I like this one. It says, it will make you, because it's a process. It says, the truth will make you free. Verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and I've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Verse 34, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, if the Son, that's Jesus, makes you free. Verse 32 says that, and you shall know the truth. And it is the truth that you know, that you understand, that will make you free. My supporting text this morning is taken from the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I'll be reading from verse 45. Just verse 45. It says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Another word for liberty can be freedom. I will walk at freedom, for I seek your precepts. So the precepts of God will cause us to walk in freedom. Amen? This morning, I've come with something I've titled, Are You Really Free? So ask your neighbor, are you really free? It's probably not something I'll be able to finish talking about this morning, but wherever we get to, we'll stop and I'll continue next week. So just making you aware of it before we start. But as we begin the month of October, and as I sought God's face about the theme, it was laid on my heart that the theme for the month should be freedom. Amen? Amen. That I should theme it the month of freedom. Now, interestingly enough, and I use the word interestingly to me, but I know it's no coincidence with God. This also happens to be what has been themed the Black History Month in the United Kingdom. You know, and it's a month when they celebrate the achievements, the culture and heritage of the black race. Freedom, how do you define freedom? We can say freedom is defined as a state of being free or at liberty rather than being in confinement or under any physical restraint. So it's when you're at liberty, you are free to do what you want, go where you can. It is the ability to do as you please. You know, it's the ability to do as you please when you want. And you tend to find that when freedom is defined or discussed, a lot of times, emphasis is placed on physical freedom. But what I've discovered is physical freedom does not equate to total freedom. The fact that somebody is free to walk around does not mean that they are really free. Everybody seated here this morning, you're probably free to go where you want to. You chose to come here this morning, so it was a choice. You know, you're free to do that. But it does not mean that you have total freedom in your life. Because there, a lot of times, you know, the physical freedom is what we can see. So people are not incarcerated. That's why you're here this morning. But you cannot see the freedom that is on the inside or the lack of freedom or incarceration that is on the inside of people. There are many people that are free to walk around, but they are trapped. They are trapped in their past. They are trapped in their mind. They are trapped by various things in their life. And in reality, as long as there's something that is still trapping you or you are enslaved to, then you are not free. There are many people that are walking around here or seated or listening to me here, but they are trapped in sin. Sometimes I've heard people say that I want to stop doing it, but I just cannot. So they are not in freedom, total freedom, although they think they are free. So by the societal definition, by the worldly definition, they'll say you are free. But in reality, the fact that they are trapped by sin means that they are not free. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? And you see, you find out that this is something that a lot of Christians, not necessarily just sin, but various kinds of slavery, if I use that word, or imprisonment, that a lot of Christians are in. And I just want to compare it. You know, you find that to developing countries. You find that most African countries, most developing countries, have obtained independence. So, you know, they are independent. They are ruling themselves. They've obtained independence from either the British or the French or Portuguese or whoever colonized them. And they are supposedly, I use the word supposedly, free from slavery and oppression. However, you find out that they are not free from colonial thinking. They are not free from oppression. what you find is that they are free from external captivity, but the captivity that they now live in is within the country. So no longer are the oppressors external bodies, but the oppressors are now their own people. I don't know if I'm speaking to anyone. The oppressors are now in the country, the people in their country. You know, it's interesting, just by the way, it's interesting that my son, you know, in history, recently, they're talking about history and, I think, slavery. And, you know, he came home and, you know, told me, oh, we're talking about slavery, and shared a couple of things with me. And he said, do you know what that? That the people were actually selling their own people. I said, yes, but that has not stopped. You know, the abolition of slavery happened in 1883 or thereabouts, you know, where they signed a treaty. But the signing of something does not mean that it has stopped. Let me use an example. Usually marriage, when people say they're married, they sign something, a document. But the signing of a document is just a legal document, but the real marriage happens in the spiritual and the spiritual connection. So there are many people that are married legally, but they are spiritually divorced. Is this making sense? And what you find is that, yes, the captors of most African countries, developing countries, are no longer there, but they are not free. For example, let me use an example. I come from a country called Nigeria. And you find out that Nigeria obtained independence about 49 years ago. But although they obtained, in quotes, independence, but they are not independent. Let me use another example. Zimbabwe obtained their independence in 1980. Although they obtained independence that year, but they are not independent. Am I making sense? In fact, it's interesting because when I was looking at this, I found out that it only took 2 years for Zimbabwe to begin to go downwards after independence. Get this. Why am I using this? Because a lot of Christians are like that. They have been freed because you are in Christ, in quotes. But that is the legal freedom, but they have not freed themselves properly. Amen? You know, the case of most Christians or many Christians can be compared to these African countries. They have been freed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for some reason, they are still operating under bondage. The limitations have been removed, yet they themselves have imposed an invisible ceiling upon themselves. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 26, it talks about Paul and Silas when they were in prison, and the Bible says that they started praising and worshiping God. And the foundations of the prison started shaking, and the prison doors were open. Now, it's interesting that the prison doors were open, but they remained in prison. They did not step out of the prison door. You find out that Lazarus, when Jesus resurrected Lazarus, and when he came from the dead, he called him forth in John 11. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out. But he came out, and the Bible says his hands and feet were still bound. So he had risen up, but he was still bound. There are a lot of people under the sound of my voice that have risen up. They've been saved, but they are still bound. And when you're still bound, can you say you are really free? That's why I've come to ask that question this morning. And you probably want to ask yourself, are you really free? Help me ask your neighbor, are you really free? Now, don't wait for an answer. Because a lot of Christians are like the Jews in the scripture in John 8 that we read earlier, when Jesus said that the truth will make you free. And their response is, how can you say the truth will make us free when we have never been in bondage? Obviously, they were deluded because they were in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage in Babylon. And a lot of Christians are like that. What you call self-denial. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You know, many Christians remain in prison, although the prison doors have been opened. The Bible states in the book of John 8:32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What makes you free? The truth is what makes you free. And that's the challenge, because a lot of people don't know the truth. A lot of people do not search for the truth. A lot of people do not embrace the truth. You know, people sometimes equate knowledge to truth. And get this, knowledge is not the same thing as truth. Let me explain. All knowledge is not truth. There are many theories that are not true. Let me explain. In school, they teach the students about evolution, about the creation of the earth. And they talk about evolution. That is knowledge, but that's not the truth. And people sometimes equate knowledge and try to live their lives based on knowledge. But we should live our lives based on truth, because it is the truth that will make us free. That's what the Bible says. The Bible does not say knowledge will make you free. Knowledge will give you an understanding. It will give you a broad view of things. It will increase your mental capacity. But it will not necessarily make you free. Am I speaking to you? You see, it's truth that will make... You see, a lot of people have knowledge about finances. A lot of people have knowledge about the economy, the economic situation. They know about economics of our countries. But get this, they are not free from financial bondage. A lot of people have knowledge about stocks and shares, but they are not free from financial slavery or personal economic slavery. You can have knowledge about businesses, what business to run, what things to do, but you can remain impoverished. But get this, truth is always contained within knowledge. But not all knowledge is truth. Am I getting too philosophical? Amen. Is this making sense? And you know what? This month, what we want to spend time is getting an understanding, a better understanding of truth regarding various areas of our life. Truth concerning finances, truth concerning the economy, our economic situation, truth concerning sin, so that we can begin to walk in truth that will make us free. Amen? Amen. You know, truth, what is truth? So what is this truth we are talking about? Truth is in the Word of God. You know, Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14, verse 6, he said something. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So Jesus was saying, hey, you can find the truth in me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, what does that mean? That makes us to understand that truth can be found in Jesus. Amen? You discover the truth when you discover more of Jesus. And I use the word when you discover more of Jesus. A lot of people have discovered Jesus, but they have not discovered more of him to find the truth in him. So they've discovered Jesus by giving their lives or accepting him as their personal Lord and Savior, but they have not discovered more of him to discover the truth that is in him. And that's what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Amen? The truth is that as a Christian, we have been liberated from all forms of dominion and oppression. All forms. I use the word all forms. As a Christian, we have been liberated from it. But the fact is that not everyone is walking in that level of understanding. When you know the truth that you know will make you free from any oppression, from oppression of any kind or form. Whether it is spiritual oppression or whatever form of mental oppression, emotional oppression, when you know the truth, it will make you free. You know, in the book of John chapter 18, verse 37, John 18, 37, Pilate asked Jesus a question. He asked him a question earlier. And Jesus answered something. He says, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And the Bible says, Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Get this, he said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So Jesus was saying that he made us to understand that if we really know the truth and identify with the truth and we are of the truth, then we will hear his voice. And to hear his voice means to obey his voice. You see, the more you obey the voice, the more you discover the truth in Jesus. Amen? To hear his voice is to walk in the truth that we discover. What I've discovered is sometimes people know the truth, but they don't walk in it. So that truth that they know will never make them free. Because when you know the truth and you don't walk in the truth, but you choose to walk in convenience, that will not make you free. Get this. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they had the knowledge, they had an understanding that God was leading them into a land filled with milk and honey. But they did not know the truth that he is Jehovah Jireh. So they knew, had the knowledge because they told them, God told them, Moses told them, I will lead you into a land filled with milk and honey, a promised land and things like that. So they had that knowledge, but they did not walk or know the truth of him being a great provider. What do I mean by that? That is why you find out that on various occasions, they complained. In fact, when they had no water, they acknowledged that Jesus was taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, when you talk about milk, that is even more water than water. So, flowing with milk and honey, they had that knowledge, but they did not have that truth. And because they did not know the truth, they were complaining. If they knew the truth, they would have been free from being slaves to their appetites. Because at that stage, they were enslaved to their appetites. And that means they were not free. Although they were free from the captivity of the Egyptians, they were not free from the captivity of their mind. Am I making sense? You see, in the book of Numbers 11, verses 4 to 6, let's look at it, some one that we know very well. Numbers 11, verses 4 to 6. Actually, let me read from verse 1. It says, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. Notice that they yielded to intense craving. So they became slaves to their intense craving. And it says something. It says they yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we had freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Get this. They complained about the food they were eating. Once again, their knowledge of the truth, or their lack of knowledge, I beg your pardon, of the truth is what caused them to yield to their intense craving. You see, when you don't know the truth, you will yield to the wrong things. Get this, anytime you yield to your craving or to something that you ought not to, then you are a slave to that thing. Whatever it is. Anytime you yield to a craving that you ought not to, then you become a slave. Which means you are not free. The Israelites were physically free, but they were not free in their mind. That's why they kept on thinking of Egypt. They had been removed physically from Egypt, but mentally they were still in Egypt. And sometimes you find a lot of Christians that have been removed from the world, but they are still in the world. They have been, so sometimes when you speak to some people, I remember, the good old days. We painted the town red. Oh, dear. Get this. The fact of the matter in that scripture is that they were eating manna, and they probably did not have what they were having, eating in Egypt, possibly, that's even if they were eating it. But the fact of the matter is they were eating something that was not maybe very enjoyable to eat. But the truth is that God was taking them, feeding them, and providing for them. Now, get this, you need to understand something. That the truth is not the same as fact. Because the fact is they were eating manna. But the truth is that they were eating God's word or God's food. Did you get that? Let me try to explain. The fact is right now my bank account may not be very buoyant. That's the fact. The fact is I may look at my bank account and there's nothing in there. But get this, what is the truth? The truth is that I will lend to many nations and I will not borrow. And when you walk in the truth, the fact will not move you. But what happens to a lot of Christians? They are moved by the facts. And they do not walk in the truth.
Because when you look at the fact and you allow that to move you, then what is happening is you are not free. Get this. Right now, my finances are not buoyant, but I'm not enslaved by my finances. My finances do not define my vision. Because if I were to move by the fact or define my vision based on the fact, I will not be walking in the truth of the things that God has called me to do. Is this making sense? Right now, your body may be racked with pain. That is the fact. But the truth is that by his stripes, you have been healed. That is the truth. So even though you have pain in your body, and that's not denying the facts, but when you walk in the truth, despite and in spite of the facts, you stand up and say, by his stripes, and you walk in the truth. And it's about time that we begin to walk in the truth as Christians. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You know, this morning, let me just deal with one aspect. And I'll be just last 5 minutes or thereabout that I have. You know, mental slavery is something, an illness that a lot of Christians have. And I use the word illness. A lot of people are mentally enslaved. What do I mean by that? A lot of people are imprisoned in their minds. So we have been freed. But a lot of people are still imprisoned. They have allowed their mind to become a stronghold or to define a stronghold around their life. They are free on the outside, but bound on the inside. Get this. Until, and I use the word until, you obtain freedom from your mind, you are not truly free. Until you obtain freedom and do not allow yourself to be bound by your mind, you are not truly free. Because the mind is a powerful thing. And the fact that you are born again, the fact that you've been a Christian for years or you just became a Christian, makes no difference. The fact that you speak in tongues does not mean that you are free. Let me explain. When you became a Christian, your spirit changed. It was renewed, regenerated. But your mind remained the same. And what you need to do is renew your mind in order to change your life. And remember, we found out earlier that the truth is in Jesus. And I said, the more you discover Jesus, the more you walk in the truth. So the more you discover Jesus, the more you can renew your mind. You know, the Bible says in Romans 12:1-2. Let's turn there. You see, let me just drop one for you. Your mind can either cause you to rule or take you to ruin. Your mind can either take you to rulership or cause you to rule or take you to ruin. That's how powerful the mind is. And for those that allow themselves to be imprisoned in their mind, where it's taking them is to ruin, not to rulership. Romans 12, from verse 1 says something. It says, I beseech you, therefore. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And he says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. He says, but what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, be transformed by what? The renewing. So it's the renewal of the mind that will cause you to be changed and enter into the rulership that God wants you to enter into. So he says, being transformed by the renewal, it's a continuous thing. Until your mind is renewed, your life cannot become free. Until your mind is renewed, your life cannot be changed. One thing I found out is that sometimes, you know, I've met people that are talented, people that are good at certain things, but because their mind has not been renewed, they cannot believe that they are good at it. In fact, they don't believe it. You see, the mind keeps a lot of people in captivity. A lot of people are held bound by the mind. Many are bound in their mind by the words they have heard over the years. Many people are bound in their mind by the words they have believed. Many people have become mentally enslaved to their circumstances and situations. And get this, the things you allow into your life will rule you. Let me repeat that. The things that you believe will determine what your life becomes. The things that you believe is what will rule your life. So in reality, get me to sit in front of someone, and if I can get into their mind, I can tell them their future. Unless they change certain things. Are you really free? You see, let me use an illustration. I remember when I first came to this country. You know, years ago, in those days, you know, there was a belief system amongst people of color that you could not rise above a certain level or could not be employed to do certain jobs. And unfortunately, this still exists in some groups among some people. That's just the thing of the mind. There is no ceiling. There's nowhere you cannot enter into. There's nowhere. There's no job that, get this. Some people, there have been jobs that have, I mean, I see director of something. I know I don't qualify, but I feel like applying. Why not? but get this. There was a belief system then. There still is, but you know, then I met some people, and the belief system they had is that there are only certain kinds of jobs that you can do. Now, as I got into the system, I refused to believe what they believed. I met some of them doing mini cabin and left them doing mini cabin. I don't know if they still are. But when I lost contact with them, they were still in it. I remember meeting some chaps some time ago. And, you know, we interviewed him for a job some years back. And he said that it was a cleaning job, right? And he said that he's been cleaning for the past, I think, 5 years. That he's been a cleaner. And I could not fathom in my head how somebody can settle down to a job as a professional cleaner. And he tried to make us understand that he is a professional cleaner. Now, the interesting thing is that that gentleman, he had the legal rights to be in this country. You know, sometimes people do certain things because they are not allowed to work. Let me not go there. Let me not even go there. But sometimes people do certain things because they are not allowed to work legally. But this gentleman was legally allowed. So I could not understand. And that's me. I could not understand why and how. But when I was thinking of this, I saw that it is his mind that has enslaved him. And get this, as long as your mind enslaves you, you will remain enslaved. And that means that you are not free. Oh my goodness, I think I'm speaking some sense this morning. You know, when they told me that you can't get this kind of job, can't do, I refused to believe. I totally refused to believe. So I started applying, wrote many applications, got discouraged, got encouraged in the process. That's the truth. But I got the kind of job I wanted in my profession. The mind will either sink you or cause you to rise. You see, you are bound by the things, you know, what you believe sinks into your mind. That's why the Bible says that the transformation can only happen by the renewing of the mind. That's, your life cannot be transformed. Get this. If you don't like your life right now, or certain things in your life, what you need to do is seek the truth in the Word of God and begin to renew your mind around that truth. That is the only way that area of your life can be transformed. You know what I find? A lot of Christians are too lazy to seek the truth. And sometimes when you even give them the truth on a platter of gold, they are too lazy to read it. I need to round up. I've just come to we've only touched one part of it today, which is the mind, mental slavery. But my question to you this morning is, what has held you bound in your mind? Listen to me. Sometimes I think to myself, do you know that this, the thing that is between your ears, that's so powerful, that for some people it sent them to their to an early grave. For some people, it sent them to a psychiatric home. It's so powerful. So if it's so powerful and it determines your life, don't you think you need to spend time ensuring that it's working properly? I always say something. You know, I tell women, I say that you need to be praying that your head is correct. Now, when I say your head, not the woman's head, but our head, married women, that is the husband's head. That the husband is. Because if the head is not correct, the body, how can the body work? The body will be all over. Now, get this. So that's in marriage. In your life, if the head is not correct, the body cannot function the way God wants it to function. And not just the body, your life as a whole cannot function according to the will of God. Somebody says, my mind. My mind has to be correct. Let me round up. I need to round up. What has held you bound? What have you allowed to hold you bound in your life? I don't know whether it's things in the past, whether it's words, whether it's situations, whether it's circumstances that you've experienced or you experienced in the past, or that you're experiencing now, that has caused you to be bound. But this morning I've come with a word to make you understand that you can be free. I've come with a word for you, that you can be free from that prison. You can break that stronghold. And this is not deliverance. I'm not talking about, you know, laying hands. A lot of people go for laying hands. But if you lay hands on people and they have not renewed their mind, it's only a matter of time before they come out again and their hands are laid. So it's not about anointing. It's about seeking the Bible says the truth. The truth from his word will make you free. Let's rise up and pray.